Jovo Cop. How are you, buddy?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, you sound fired up.
You ready?
I am. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, good games on, too. Like it.
Where's the
Is it going to be really good hockey, Jovo? Can we compare it to what we'll see in the bubble? Or is this going to be all adrenaline tonight for guys? What is opening night like for players?
Well, it's exciting. You know, obviously, I mean, players not knowing how things were going to unfold. And now here we are at day one. Guys are excited. How's the hockey going to be? You know, it's hockey. I think everybody's just excited, you know, for fans that to be able to opportunity to watch it. And the hockey will get better. I mean, there could be a couple games tonight that, you know, that are better than the others, you know, as far as pace you know, how clean the game is, passes, etc. But I would imagine there'd be a few shifts out there that the coach is going to be able to break down and video the next day.
So give me a sense of how you look at the Canucks. I mean, you JT Miller now out of the fold, at least for the week, along with Jordy Benn. I mean, I think the Canucks will be okay without Jordy Benn, but it's taking a guy like JT Miller in the season he had last year. How does that impact the team here in your mind?
Well, it's taking, you know, it's early, obviously the first game, but, you know, you're taking a, you know, 27 goal guy out of your lineup and, you know, is a big part. We talked last year, you know, what emotional player he is. He's passionate. And I can only imagine how he's going to get the guys fired up if he was there for the first game. So it's tough loss, but it's one of those things. Are we going to just kind of see this kind of unfold throughout the year? You know, it's unfortunate how, you know, with COVID around that, you know, guys got to be extra careful, you know, in these situations. And if you want to be on the ice, you're going to have to make that sacrifice to really be safe when you're away from the rink and not put yourself in positions to where you think possibly, you know, something can happen. Now, having said all that, it's hard, right? I mean, yeah, kids that are going to school, whatever the case may be, you know, the wife's going somewhere. I don't know. Maybe you lock everyone down for the hockey season. It's tough, but it's definitely a big loss for Vancouver, and hopefully he can get back sooner than later.
Yeah, and you know what, Eddie, deal with that in a sense too. Jim Benning was on the program last night and said, listen, it's, you know, it eventually falls on the responsibility of the players as an organization and as a league. The NHL has done everything, but to your point, Ed, these guys aren't machines. And if they're married with kids, it's not like, hey, by the way, everyone's inside this bubble. You can't go anywhere. I mean, there is do your job, but there also is try and live your life, just like we all are, with great precaution. But there's really not much more I would think that they can do.
You're right, Perry. And I think that's what it boils down to. This is how, I mean, I think players, you're not stupid. You know, they don't want, you know, to get COVID and be taken away. Not only, you know, what they love to do, but, you know, for health reasons. And, you know, but like you said, I mean, you got to live your life. And sometimes you just want to say F COVID and kind of just kind of go along and do your thing. But you know, Benning's right. I mean, some falls on the player. They can't have control of you all day. So kind of what you're doing in your spare time, you know, could reflect on, you know, how things unfold for you.
But even their spouse or something, Eddie, right? Like, honey, I'm going to practice.
I mean, there's so many moving parts, right? There's so many. I mean, you're going to tell your wife, hey, listen, you can't go to the grocery store, or you can't go work out, or you can't go do this with the kids. So it's, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and it's kind of sucks that we're in this position. But, you know, listen, I think with all the vaccines and everyone and get the necessary people vaccinated, and as we move into, you know, the athletes, the players, you know, everyone vaccinated, hopefully that's going to come quick and we'll be hopefully good to go. Everybody can live their life and not be worried about everything.
How do you see the All-Canadian, the Gord Downie division, the Poutine division, the All-Canadian, the North division, all the different names?
Right.
Who do you like in the Canadian division?
Well, it's tough project, you know, kind of looking at the group and saying,
uh-oh,
you know, who, but, you know, I got to go with Toronto, Montreal at the top. I have Vancouver in the third spot, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, and Ottawa. But Ottawa, I think, is going to be a tough team to play against. You never know. I think the parity in the NHL is there. And I think because of the shortened season, I think the importance of these games are huge, that guys are going to be gearing up. And that's why I think that the hockey is going to be pretty good right from the get-go. Guys are going to understand the importance of points and, putting yourself in a position, to make the playoffs. But Toronto is a talented team. I like what Montreal's done, the goaltender, obviously. Vancouver, hopefully you can build off what happened last year. Winnipeg's in a situation, they got a great goaltender, brought Stastny back. I think if they can get Line A kind of on the same page, it could be an X factor there. And then Edmonton, Calgary, they are what they are. They got talent. It just, keeping the puck out of your net is going to be something that you got to focus on. And in Ottawa made some changes in their young team, and I like what DJ Smith has done there. And I think they're going to be a team that their identity is going to be work. So you got to be ready to play them.
Jovanovski joins us as he does on the starting lineup, Perry Selkowski, James Cebulski, every Wednesday morning. Eddie, you talk about teams getting on a roll. That's what we're going to see in such a condensed schedule and so many back-to-back and playing a team three times in a row. So we understand when you're on a roll and you want to keep on playing, but when you're not playing well, the coaches always went in for practice. Is it that much more difficult if you go out and lose tonight to play the next night, or is that what you want right away? And if you get into the funk, do you think that's what we're going to see? Just some teams are going to hit some really high rolls and go, man, the six, seven games are going to pick up so many points. And when you start going backwards, it's going
Right.
to be a spiral that they can't get out of.
Well, I think it's going to work early on. A team gets in an early funk, you lose two, three games, you lose a couple games in a row. You're like, I think the comment's going to be, listen, we want to get back on the horse. We have an opportunity tomorrow to get back in the win column. But as that slides and you just can't win a game, you're going to want to almost kind of step away from it, a little bit, regroup and see where it goes from there. But you're right. I mean, it's going to be hard for a team to lose four or five games in a row and not see them slip so quickly. So I think that's how imperative this season is as far as consistency, that you got to string some games together and you got to have that separation in the standings, because both ways it works both ways. You could slip, significantly down where it's kind of an uphill battle throughout the year, or you get on a run and you can really position yourself well. But to answer your question, I think it works both ways, Perry. I think sometimes when this it's a slippery slope, when you're going down, you just can't seem to gain any traction. You just find yourself losing games, and then the
Especially with no
demeanor,
time to practice.
right? And the demeanor kind of goes down, and you're like, then you start blaming COVID, and you're like, God, everything is this is like not working out, and just kind of the body language goes down, and now you're playing the season out. I've been a part of those seasons, not with obviously what the pandemic we're dealing with, but when things are just going so bad, you're just like, uncle, this can we get this season over with? Because by November, man, you're out of it.
Yeah, and then that just, I mean, it just be losing becomes contagious, does it not?
Right. And so does winning. I mean, when you have that good feeling around the room, and you can have an a very average game and find out at the end of the game that you guys pulled it through, because that attitude is always there where, hey guys, stick with it. We know we can get this done. But when on the flip side of that, you're down 2-0 early, you're like, oh boy, we have no chance here coming back.
Well, and the tough part, guys, will be, and Jim Benning spoke to it. A, you're not going to have that practice time. B, you're not going to have a point in the schedule where a coach can go just get away from the rink. And C, you're not going to be able to make too many trades when you're dealing with borders and 2 weeks of quarantine too. So the fix it probably is going to be within that room and done quickly. And I just don't know how when you pull out of the funk.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's what I was thinking. It's got to come within. I mean, the sacrifice and the commitment's got to come early on. Leadership group kind of taking the group saying, listen, guys, this season's different than others. Last year we experienced the bubble. This year is, slightly different, but we have to, get out of the gate and come out, play strong, and try to sustain that throughout the year. We're not going to win every game, but if we do lose a game, we got to kind of get back into correcting what we need to correct and get back in that win column.
I want to share something for you that Brian Burke said earlier this morning on our sister station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And he talked about each Canadian team. Like, you look at every team, like the Canucks, whether it's the Leafs, the Habs, the Oilers, the Flames, you can kind of find a question mark with each team. And Burke, he kind of said, the problem with each of these teams is just they're almost too top heavy. Here's what Burke had to say. Take a listen to this.
With the Canadian teams in particular, I'm struck by how top-heavy all of the contenders are, and therefore how thin all of the contenders are. I truly think if you're one of these elite teams in the Canadian division, you're one injury away from catastrophe.
Do you subscribe into that theory? Is this just a simple the way of the world with the salary cap that we're in now?
Right. I agree, but when you look at kind of league-wide across the board, can you not say that about most of the teams? I mean, listen, you want to spend your money, you want to spend it right, and you're going to spend it on your top two lines, and most of the time you're going to look at that team, hey, listen, we're top-heavy, that's where our money is, and we got to kind of fill in the three and four lines. But yeah, I think you can look that at as every team. I mean, you get a team like here in Florida, you get Barkov hurt, good luck. You know, he's a big part of your team, both ends of the ice, but he gets hurt, you know, it's going to be tough sledding.
But I think there's some exceptions there, right? Like, I just to counterpoint that for a second, like, Tampa obviously did a wonderful job now. They obviously have some cap issues to deal with. I like the Flyers to come out of the East. Like, mm-hmm. I love the balance that they have with that team where, you know, Giroux and Voracek now finally have some help, whether it's through Hayes, Van Riemsdyk, Konechny's evolved, Couturier's a stud. You know, you've got all these guys on their back end. You know, Carter Hart's a stud in goal. You got Provorov, Gostisbehere. Like, they check a lot of the boxes for me. And then you look at the Avalanche in the West, like, you know, they find it, like, it's hard to find a lot of holes in that roster, whether it's up front on the blue line. Like, there are teams that seem to kind of find that balance out there.
Yeah, and that's the tricky thing, right, is finding, you know, top to bottom where you can feel that you've plugged every hole to where you feel like you're the best fit. And those teams have done that. I like Philly, too, as well. Mm-hmm. I think they play hard. I think they're well coached. In Colorado, we know about what kind of their depth and their top guys, but I think you can look across the board, guys, that, you know, every team has that one or two guys that say, listen, if something happens that we're gonna need some major readjustments to kind of get through. And some teams have that solid depth to do it. Some don't.
Well, I think in Burke always goes back to his Anaheim Stanley Cup championship team. When you look at the four lines he had, were great. But I think, guys, if you went back to St. Louis 2 years ago, it wasn't crazy superstars. And Tampa, you know, again, you're the role player step up. I just think, you know, you don't become a role player until you put in that position, Ed, do you? Like every team, I agree with you, James. You're built with, let's get some money, let's spend it out. If the Islanders are going to be successful, yeah, we're going to talk about Matt Barzal, but you're also going to talk about the fact that they can score with all three or four lines and defensemen are chipping in. I mean, that's how you build a championship team. That's common knowledge, isn't it?
Right. And when you have a solid, and when you can look top to bottom and you're excited about your group, I think players that are thrown in that situation can't play. Well, they can. If a big injury or something, I think you can slot these players that have great depth. But these players come in knowing, listen, we're going to be in that third and fourth line, and we're going to be the best third and fourth line in the league. And I think when you look at the teams that win, and Berkey's right, that Anaheim team was, you know, with Moen, Paulson, Niedermayer. I mean, these guys were contributing everywhere on the ice, and they were a tough line to play against, and you need that group. So I think, you know, what I'm trying to say is when you have a top team, these players understand their roles, you know, where they're slotted, and they make the best of it. And they, because they're in that third and fourth line, It doesn't necessarily say, listen, you can't contribute offensively. You know, these players chip in, and that's why they have success.
We got to get to Sonny Aslam down the hall from News 11:30 in a moment, but we got about 20 seconds. Where's the money going tonight, Eddie?
Ooh. Well, the two teams that you mentioned, I really like, Philly and Colorado. Mm. I like, and I like Toronto.
Mm. All right.
Your futures bet or just a bet today? James and I are trying to make some people some money this year. I'll give you bets of the night.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like Colorado.
Yeah.
I really like Colorado tonight.
Yes, I do. I've got Colorado and the over in that game at 5.5 points.
Right.
I think that's where that's where I'm putting the money tonight. Listen,
parlay them all. You get better odds.
Exactly.
Parlay them with the Green Bay Packers.
Right. At 6.5, really?
Yeah.
I was told buy them up to 7 and really like your bet.
There we go.
The Rams.
Take care, buddy. Enjoy.
All right, guys. Take care.